Our Father and our God, we come before you this morning again saying thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Father, as holy and mighty, sovereign, almighty, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God that you are, you still hear us. Thank you for the privilege of prayer this morning and always. Father, we need you. Our prayer focus is long. Our nation, in many ways, is in complete turmoil. We need you, O God. We in our churches need you. We in our families need you. Our young people need you. Our government needs you. Our schools and our businesses need you. Oh God, forgive us. Too much of the time we've set you on the shelf and said, I will do it my own way. Forgive us for that. All across our land, oh God, I pray. We have this wonderful privilege of prayer, and I feel perhaps it's way underutilized. We, your people, can cry out to you, the living God, in anguish or in joy or anything in between. We can come before you night and day, 24/7, because you are there, you are almighty, and you want to hear us, you want to answer prayer. Father, help us, your people, to be a people of prayer. Forgive us for not being a people of prayer. Forgive us for not fasting. Forgive us for being lukewarm. Forgive us, O God, for not opening up your word and studying it the way we should. Father, we need you. We invite you to take over in our church services here and in church services everywhere. I pray for churches and pastors and leaders, Father, all over our communities, all over this globe, Father, we pray, thy will be done. Always, today and always, O God, thy will be done in our church, in your church, in the body of Christ. I pray that as other churches have gathered this morning, and as we gather here for our two services, that we would set the things of the week aside. Yeah, there's probably a football game today. Yeah, there was probably one yesterday. Yeah, I've got stuff to do tomorrow. But we have come today to worship you. Not to worship the boys in the helmets. Not to worship anything else. We have come to worship you. And so, Father, help us to clear our minds and cry out as we have just sung, you are the one that's mighty. You are the one that's holy. You are the one that we have come to worship today. Glorify your name in us, O God, your people. Glorify your name in the other churches all over our region and all over this nation and all over the globe. Glorify your name, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And may we lift up once more to you, Heavenly Father, those on our prayer focus that are sick and struggling and have lost loved ones, those that are alone in hospital beds and care center beds, those that are trying to recover from surgeries and illnesses that are beating them down. And Father, lest we forget, may we pray for those that don't know you, that those that don't have that relationship with you that's real, that's transformational, that's of the Spirit. Father God, we pray whether we sit in church today or we never go to church, I pray that people would come to know Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as Master of their lives. Oh Lord, we need you. Pour out your Spirit upon us, oh God, like you did at Pentecost. Pour out your Spirit upon us like you did in the Great Awakenings in America. Revive your church, oh God, we pray. Revive us. Help us not to come to church and leave the same way, but we have been with Jesus. We have been set ablaze with the Holy Spirit of God, and we go into our workplaces and into our homes and into the ministry or whatever else it is we go to, having been with Jesus. Salt and light, prayed up, ready for the week. And so, Father, as we talk about prayer again today, will you guide us? Will you lead us by your Spirit? Will you touch us in the mind and the heart? Will you open up our ears to you, open up our eyes to you, and help us, as we have been saying for weeks, to be a praying people? Help us with that, Father, to be a praying people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about prayer for a while. And if you were with us on that very first Sunday, it was 7 or 8 weeks ago now already, you may have remembered that I said sometimes we may think prayer is boring, haven't got time for it, or whatever else. But as I reminded us from Scripture that very first Sunday, and have been trying to reiterate that over these weeks since, brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you that prayer changes things. Amen? Prayer changes things. And the people of God, whether it's a church or a family or an individual or anything else that don't pray and don't have time to pray, will never experience the blessing and the movement of God like we could if we would pray. He calls us to pray. He wants to answer. He wants to show himself strong in his church, in his people. He wants to show himself strong in our communities where there is no time for him. He wants us to pray in America, I believe, like we haven't prayed in a long time. We've talked about a whole bunch of things, and I'm just here to say again this morning, friends, prayer works, and we need to pray. We have talked about a lot of things, the need for prayer. We've talked about praying for those enemies of ours that we don't even like. We prayed. We heard from Jesus in Matthew 7:7. We said, ask and seek and knock and keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Don't just get discouraged when the answer doesn't come. Keep seeking Him. A couple of weeks ago, we even saw from James, there are times when we need to confess our faults to one another and pray for one another. The Bible says that you may be healed. Hallelujah. Healed. And so today, if you've got your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn to Daniel chapter 10. One more part of this prayer series. It'll be on the big screen. If you don't have your Bible with, there's Bibles in the seats before you someplace. But I want you to follow along here. This is a very unique piece of Scripture in this whole arena of prayer. And I'm going to need to read a few verses to give you some background. I'm going to read 1 through 10 or 11 to give you a little background. Then we get into what I really want to focus on. But you need the background a little bit, so bear with me. Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Here we go. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. You know that Daniel is in Babylon. You know he's been there for a long, long time. You know that the Babylonians are not only longer in power, but now it's the Persian Empire that's in power. Okay, so you know all that. That's according to the Word of God in Daniel. This message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. The messenger was giving Daniel this message about future events for the people of God. And the Bible goes on, in those days I, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came unto my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Basically, he was praying and fasting. We've talked about praying and fasting. Pastor Massey talked about the effects of praying and fasting. That's what he was doing. Seeking the face of God, longing for an answer, longing for direction. That's what he was doing, and that's what we should do more often. Cry out to God in prayer and fasting, intently travailing in prayer until the answer comes. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was deep in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I now have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Now the punchline, I give you the background, you know what's happening. Now the punchline in today's persistent prayer topic. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. I want to give us a couple, 3 points and ponder for a minute here. This is a very unique passage of Scripture. First of all, the Bible says with clarity, Daniel's prayer was heard. From the moment he started crying out, he'd humbled himself and started crying out to God, his prayer was heard. The Bible also says the messenger of God was sent back to Daniel with an answer. You still with me? The messenger of God was sent back to Daniel with an answer. And yes, it was about latter days, for the vision refers to many days that are yet to come. Here is the point I want to make today. For 21 days, the enemy of our souls hindered that messenger from coming to Daniel with the answer. You say, Jim, I don't get that. Well, you'll find something like that probably no place else in Scripture. One commentator said it like this. Although God sent a messenger to Daniel, a powerful evil spirit detained the messenger for 3 weeks. Daniel faithfully continued, not knowing anything about the spiritual battle that goes on around us, just kept crying out to God, wondering, would he get an answer? What will the answer be? How long must I pray and fast? And he kept going. Daniel continued to pray and fast and seek God, and God's messenger eventually, after 21 days, arrived with the answer, per the scripture, having had some assistance from the archangel Michael. Now, maybe you're very familiar with this passage, maybe you're not. But my point is today, sometimes we've got to pray through when we think no answer is coming. When we've labored in prayer for a good while and we feel that God has not answered, maybe not interested, maybe not even hearing me, we've got to pray through, because sometimes the enemy of our souls will hinder the answer from coming to you how you want it, when you want it. That's what the Bible says here. Now listen to me a second. Sometimes, I've said this off and on throughout our 8 weeks of prayer, sometimes our prayers are not answered because we are letting sin reign in us. I've referred to Psalm 66:18 before. Sometimes our prayers are not being answered because we are allowing sin to continue to reign, take up residence in us. But I can assure you, the prayer, "Forgive me, save me, change me, O God, by your Son," will always be heard. No matter our condition, no matter how far sin has taken us, the grace of God will go a bit farther than our sin took us. And whenever we get to that point of saying, "Father, I need you, forgive me, I trust your Son, save me, change me," He will hear that prayer and He will act accordingly. So, sometimes our prayers are not answered because there's sin in the way. Sometimes prayers are not answered according to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Sometimes prayers are not answered because we come to the Lord in a manner, as James said, wavering and doubting. He also says, "Let not that man suppose he will get anything." Sometimes that's how we come, wavering and doubting. And our prayers, according to James, won't get answered then either. Sometimes prayers are not answered because the messenger, the evil around us, the spiritual battle we are in, perhaps has put a roadblock up, a little detainer, not allowing that message to come to us like it did. And we just give up and say, "You know what? He ain't coming with no answer, so I'm quitting on this whole prayer thing." And we don't get our answer. When Jesus reminded us here a month or so ago, when we looked at Matthew 7, when He said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you." And He said, in essence, in the next part of that verse, keep on asking. Keep on seeking and keep on knocking. And then we see this illustration from Daniel chapter 10. Sometimes prayers are delayed because we have an enemy with an army at his discretion that does not want you to feel like God cares about you in the least way, shape, or form. We have an enemy that wants you to feel like, "Well, I guess he ain't answering my prayers. I guess he don't care about me." We have an enemy that wants us to feel dejected and oppressed because my prayer didn't get answered. I fear that in an age that we are in today, we want what we want, and we want it right now. We don't have the patience and the travailing to pray and stay in prayer until the answer comes. I fear that if we don't get what we want and see those results quickly, we either doubt, or we blame, or we sometimes just rational away, "I guess it must not be God's will." And we give up. We don't stand in there. We don't stay in there travailing like Daniel did, 21 days longing for the answer. People of God, hear me again this morning. Prayer is a discipline. Prayer is a discipline. Prayer needs to be taken with an eternal seriousness. Prayer, when you travail in prayer and cry out to God in prayer, be it in the prayer closet of your home, be it with your spouse, be it with others here when we gather to pray, prayer has a seriousness to it that moves mountains and makes eternal difference in people's lives. It needs to be taken seriously. Prayer needs to be done often. People of God, our nation, I've said this over the 2 months, our nation, if nothing else comes to your mind, our nation needs prayer. Our churches need prayer. Our children need prayer. Marriages need prayer. The very fabric of this great nation, of what we have done lately, is crumbling financially and morally. We need to pray like we have never prayed before. Prayer doesn't always come in a moment. Sometimes it does. Sometimes He will answer you. You're crying out to God and you need an answer because you need to know which direction to go. Sometimes it'll come in a moment. And sometimes we have to travail and labor in prayer, sometimes for weeks and longer. I wanted to tell you the story about, I heard parts of it on KTIG radio just the other day, about this mother who was praying for her drug-addicted son. The long and the short of it is, she prayed for 30 years. She didn't give up. And mom and son were both on that radio program, that radio broadcast that day, because her prayers were answered. It just took a while. It just took a while. But she didn't give up. And we shouldn't give up for those addicted family members or neighbors. We shouldn't give up for our nation. We shouldn't give up on those that are lost that we work right beside. We shouldn't give up for our lost family members. We shouldn't give up for those that live across the street that haven't come to know Christ yet. Even though they maybe have kicked my dog around, shot my cat, and anything else, we shouldn't give up on their salvation because eternity is real and heaven and hell are real, and the church should be praying for lost people of America. Church should be praying for our neighbors and even those people we don't like. That's what Jesus said. We should be praying for people we don't even like. Jim, I don't like what's happening with Planned Parenthood. I don't like the president. I don't like what he stands for. I dang well don't like ISIS. And the Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you. And pray for those who despitefully use you. That's what he asks of the church of God today. Not a flippant little prayer. Thank you for the food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. That ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about his people travailing in prayer for the lostness of souls. Travailing for the lukewarm condition of the church. Travailing in prayer for broken bodies and broken marriages and cancers and COPDs and everything else. He's calling us to travail in prayer and labor in prayer 21 days if necessary until the answer comes. That's what he asks of us. And I ask myself, why don't we pray more often? This is not a question, this is not a statement of condemnation, it's a question for consideration. Why don't we pray more often? I don't know the answer. The enemy maybe keeps us too busy. Maybe unanswered prayer makes us give up. I don't know the answers. Maybe we're still using the argument, well, I've never seen him answer no prayers of mine anyway. Why don't we pray more often? Why don't we pray with passion? Why don't we pray with conviction as a body of believers? With an eternal perspective, why aren't we praying? Let me close with this, and then we're going to spend a little time in prayer, if you want to, and singing. I read a book again this last week that was given to my wife. It was called Twice Born Russian. It was about a man named Peter Dynamite, his nickname, Danica. Anybody ever heard of Peter Danica? Wow, I hadn't either. But when I read the book and found out what he had done and what he had stood for on his knees before God in prayer, I thought, why haven't I heard of this guy? Came to America at 15, maybe to make a little bit of money to save his parents and all of his siblings in a tiny little village in Russia. Communist Russia, I might add, where the gospel and the good news of Jesus was not talked about. He came over here at 15 years old. The year was 1912. And by the 1920s, and shortly thereafter, long story short, Peter come to know Jesus in a powerful way. And he had this burden for atheistic Russia and his parents and the village, so poor, so destitute. He had a burden, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and he began to cry out to God for the salvation of his community, for the salvation of the Russian people. And in the 1920s, if you know your history, you know that a famine hit the Russian continent and millions died. That's not an exaggeration. Millions starved to death. His own three brothers died in the famine. A sister died in the famine. And Peter didn't even know that until he got back there one day, many years later, to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It had been 5 years since he'd even heard from his parents, hadn't heard a word from them, didn't know if they were dead or alive. But he kept praying, and he kept praying for his family and that little village and the peoples of Russia. He kept praying, and he invited other people. And I'm not talking about a 2 or 3 minute prayer on Sunday mornings. I am talking about he travailed in prayer night after night after night, his whole life long, all night long. Not every night, of course, but when he put on a prayer event, it was all night long. Billy Graham even summoned him to pray for his events. Youth for Christ summoned him, pray for our events, because when you pray, things happen. And when you get done reading the story, you can see that from a 15-year-old boy who come to know Jesus with a passion for the people in Russia, millions have come to know Christ in continents all over the globe because of his prayers and the radio ministry and the evangelism and revivals. People come to Christ for the last 100 years because of the prayers of a little boy that realized atheism wasn't the only ticket in town. I'm telling you, friends, when God's people get serious in prayer, things happen. Now, you may be going through life every day and you don't give a hoot about your neighbor going to hell or heaven. Maybe that's your gig. But as born again, spirit-filled, passionate followers of Christ, we should care about the eternal destination of everybody around us, in church and out of church, rich and poor, black and white. We should have a burden, like Massey said, like Peter Danica had. We should have a burden for the lostness of humanity, because hell is real, and the Old Testament says it is hungry. It'll never be satisfied. And until God's people pray for miracles to happen of transformation and change and addictions thrown aside and people born again, we're just going through life, shrugging our shoulders, assuming everything's just going to be okay, when it's not okay, when millions are slipping into hell on a daily basis. God's people need to pray. I don't know if we're going to talk about prayer anymore or not. I guess it depends on what the Lord tells me to talk about next week. But if these last 8 weeks haven't challenged you in any way to pray, listen to the Lord. Read His Word. because He calls us to pray. He calls us to get serious in fasting and prayer, and He will move mountains. And so I hope these last weeks have challenged you, number one, to get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Because that's the first prayer we all need. You say, Jim, I'm a church member, I'm a deacon, or I'm this, or I teach Sunday school. If you haven't been born again, you're not ready for heaven. That's the words of Jesus. It's not the words of Jim. Jesus is the one that said, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That's not Jesus. That's not Jim's doctrine or theology. That's Jesus. We can sit in church our whole life long, friends, and if we've never cried out for in repentance for salvation through the shed blood and our faith in Christ, then that spiritual rebirth hasn't happened. That needs to happen if we're ever going to see the kingdom of heaven. Maybe that needs to be our first prayer. And if you've come to know Christ in a personal way, praise God for that. Praise God, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And start praying for others. Start praying for others. It's God who is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9 said. It's God that doesn't want anybody in hell, the Bible says. He wants everybody to come to know His Son by faith. And that should be the heart of the church too. Not willing that any should perish from Him eternally.